Let me ask you, how many of you received a piece of yarn or string when you came in? Good. Don't lose that. Extremely important. Okay, I'll tell you in a minute why, but that's extremely important. But first of all, I want to tell you about a pretty popular mom. She's considered to be an extraordinary woman. We don't really know a whole lot about her birth. But she was thrust into the spotlight as a young lady, almost had to call off her wedding. In the end, everything was resolved and everything moved forward as planned. Well, almost everything. But it's interesting, she's not a keynote speaker in big, you know, retreats. Only 200 words that she has spoken has ever been published. We don't really know a whole lot about her local church, of, you know, where she fellowships with a local church. So there's a lot about her that's interesting. She's not a celebrity, you know, Christian per se. I'm pretty confident though that most of you would recognize her name if I were to tell you. Who do you think I'm talking about? Mary, right? We don't even know a lot about Mary's death. The Bible doesn't have a lot of details about Mary's death, but we do know this in Luke 1, 26 through 31. Obviously, I use some tenses of verbs to throw you off a little bit, but here we see in Luke 1, 26 through 31, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed. Our similar equivalent somewhat would be engagement. It's not exactly the same, but kind of an idea of promised or committed or engaged to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we have a daughter named Mary. My mother-in-law, who's here today, is Mary. Mary is an extremely popular name, probably one of the most well-known moms and ladies in the world of all time. The angel said to her, verse 30, and then jump to verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, beyond the name Mary, there's been many other descriptions that have been given to her. Some of those come from Scripture, but many of them don't come from Scripture and just come from what other men and women have given to her or ascribed to her, and some not quite so accurate that we're going to see in Scripture. But some of the names that you may have heard her by, we hear of Mary's Immaculate Conception, the idea that she was born sinless. Don't see that in Scripture. Sometimes known as the Mother of God, as co-redemptrix, as the Blessed Virgin Mary, believing in her, some who believe in her perpetual virginity, the spiritual mother of every believer, some would look at Mary in that sense, the Blessed Mother, Our Lady. But I want you to see, this isn't a Christmas message, although a lot of the passages that will look like, you may think, hey, Pastor, I think you've missed the holiday, this is Mother's Day and not Christmas. But as we look in a lot of the passages and analyze the life of Mary, I think you'll see the ordinary ways that she became an extraordinary mom. So she's actually quite an ordinary lady, but she followed some of those ordinary ways in Scripture to become an extraordinary mom. Let me illustrate another way. String you have in your hand, can you hold it up? Okay. Now, this is May 12th, especially in Georgia, it's not very cold. In fact, I'm a little bit warm right now, but so it's not very cold. But if it were cold, would this string do you much good? Would you be able to receive warmth from this string? Go ahead and try it. Lay it across yourself, across your hand. Is that giving you a lot of warmth? So that's ridiculous, Pastor David. Why would it? Okay, Christina's loaning her string to Nancy and maybe helping with two strings. Is this something that would give you, you know, does it have a lot of sentimental value? I mean, is your tendency to go home today and go, we received a string at church, and we're going to frame it, and we're going to put it as a centerpiece in our living room? Anybody? If you were to see this string on the ground, if you didn't know what was going on, and you were just to see this string on the ground here at the school, what would you most likely tend to do with that string? Throw it in the trash. What are we going to do with one little string? There's not a whole lot of sentimental value. This isn't going to be kept for decades. It's certainly not going to be passed on to any kid. There's just not much to this string. It's not going to help you feel, you know, comforting as you watch a movie or, you know, cuddle. You can't cuddle up with a string. However, If you take a lot of those and join those together, you end up having a blanket. So Kim made this blanket for Audrey. And I'm not trying to lift Kim up as a perfect mother either. She had originally wanted to do this for high school graduation. She finished it the day before.
4 years late.
The day before Audrey's college graduation. But, you know, better late than never. So she finished this, but it took about 85 hours to crochet, right? Sometimes I say knit, and I'm like, no, Dad, it's not knitting, it's crocheting. Okay, so to crochet this, 85 hours to come up with this. Now, if you were to see this on the ground, what would you tend to do? You're going to wash it? Yeah, okay, that's good. Mike's thinking very practical. It's on the ground, it's dirty, I'm going to wash it. But you would not throw it away, at least I hope you wouldn't. Audrey most likely will keep this for decades. Where's Audrey? Right? You will keep this for decades, right? Yeah, most likely she will keep this for decades, and she will pass this on to one of her children, if God blesses her in marriage, if that's God, part of God's plan. But she will keep this for many years to come because it represents a lot of ordinary things, a lot of ordinary strings, but that were gathered together, that were put together, and through those 85 hours, and then when presented to her, became an extraordinary blanket. We're going to see how then Mary followed some ordinary ways that every one of you, not just moms, but that every one of us can also follow to become not an extraordinary mom. We can't all do that. We still believe in everything the Bible teaches about men and women. But so you can be an extraordinary person for God. Let's look at it. First of all, follow Christ. Look with me in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Follow Christ as your Savior. Some of you who especially have been around One Hope for a little while are going to recognize these phrases as part of our purpose statement. That wasn't an accident. I want you to remember and to be very clear that the purpose statement of our church is so based in Scripture that it is so general that every one of us should follow that. And we even see this in the life of Mary. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For what? What will he do? That's right. He will save his people from their sins. Notice then in Luke 1 and verse 46. This is after Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth, and they've had a very interesting exchange there, and Elizabeth has called her blessed among women. But notice what Mary says in this few verses here in verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul magnifies who? The Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So first and foremost, moms and then in all of us, we must follow Christ as Savior. If we miss that, then you can try to be the best mom, you can try to be the best person in the world, but if you miss that point, you've missed the purpose of life. You've missed really why God has given you life and put you on earth. Follow Christ as Savior. Mary did the same. Secondly, follow Christ as your shepherd. And trusting him, to trust Christ. Notice, Mary, there were many times where Mary was confused, she was perplexed, she didn't understand things, but notice her response. We see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Then verse 28, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled, verse 29 says, at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. For some of us who have grown up, you know, hearing this story, it's become so commonplace. It's like, oh yeah, angel went to visit Mary. But that wasn't quite so common. And if it happened to us today, I think we'd be like, whoa, what's this all about? And so she was troubled. And verse 30 says, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, Now, I believe the angel said that to her because there was a tendency for Mary to be fearful, to figure out what is going on. I'm not quite sure. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." At first, Mary didn't quite know what to expect of this unexpected visit from the angel Gabriel. The angel's challenge to not be afraid indicates, Mary's probably, her tendency is to be afraid. Mary also would probably think at this point, how is this going to change my life? The plans that we had in motion and how, what's going to happen here? But the angel reminds her, the Lord is with you. Trust him. The Lord is with you. And then verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin?" So Mary can't, she certainly can't see how are these pieces going to fit together. I don't see how all this is going to fit together. But let's look at the angel's response in the next few verses. And notice who the angel exalts in his response. Again, my prayer is that you'll see throughout this morning that Mary, although, yes, very blessed, and yes, she became an extraordinary mom, but really in reality, she was an ordinary lady who followed ordinary ways to become an extraordinary mom. Look at the angel's response in Luke 1:35. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" Mary needed the power of the Most High. It wasn't that she was such a special person that all this was going to happen. No, "the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6 months with her who is called barren." So the angel's even bringing up something else and saying, "Mary, don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. And I also want to share something about Elizabeth. In her old age, and she's already several months along in her pregnancy, one who was called barren." It's as if the angel's saying, something miraculous is going to happen in you, and it's already happened with Elizabeth. The Lord is at work. Then verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with who?" Nothing will be impossible with God. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord.'" And this is key, what she says next. "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, did she know what Joseph's response would be when Joseph found this out? Did she have any idea how this would actually play out in the months ahead? Did she know, how am I going to, if she thought about the Old Testament prophecies of, Isaiah 53 and the crucifixion of the Messiah, if she thought about any of those things, could she have wondered, how am I going to go through all of this? But yet she just says, "Hey, let it be to me according to your word." She trusts in Jesus. And the angel departed from her. And moms, and really all of us, you're going to face moments in life, you're going to face seasons in life where you have no idea how the pieces are going to come together. You'll face situations in life where you don't know, how are you going to do this? But just as the angel reminded Mary, if you are a follower of Christ, the promise is true to you. It's not just true for the Blessed Mary, but it's true for you as well. The Lord is with you. And just as Mary said, I pray that every one of you moms, biological moms, spiritual moms, and then really in turn, all of us that are here would say, "Let it be to me according to your word. God, I'm going to trust you. I don't see how all this is going to come together, but let me trust in you." So this is one of the ordinary ways to become an extraordinary mom or an extraordinary follower of Christ. Trust him. Trust him. And all of us can do that. Now next, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. When Mary arrives, Elizabeth's baby, still in the womb, so John the Baptist leaps in her womb. Now look to see what Elizabeth's response is to all this. So in verse 42 of Luke 1, Elizabeth exclaimed. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, a few verses later, Elizabeth also, in her words, says why Mary is so blessed. So look at Luke 1:45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Elizabeth doesn't say, oh, Mary, what a phenomenal woman you are. What a great person you are, and that's why God chose you, and that's why you're so blessed. Elizabeth says, no, blessed are you because you believed. You trusted. God gave you this message, and you believed that it could be fulfilled. Blessed are you. You know what? Every one of us can be blessed in that way. As God calls us to do things, as He leads us, as the Holy Spirit who dwells within us daily leads us to live for Him, if we, like Mary, says, let it be unto me according to your word, you and I can be blessed David, blessed Kim, blessed Samuel, blessed David Raines, blessed Mike Reiteicher. So just as Mary was blessed in that sense, we too should follow Christ. Praise Christ is next. So trust Him for sure, and then praise Christ. Look still in the passage of Luke 1 and verse 48. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Mary is saying this. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is His name. Mary doesn't say, wow, holy will be my name. But she says, holy is His name. He's done great things for me. Verse 50, and His mercy is for those who fear Him. Who? From generation to generation. So Mary is giving a message to all of us that we read on May 12th of 2024, over 2,000 years later, and she says, listen, just as I am blessed, just as I am called blessed, everyone who fears God from generation to generation, that is who will receive mercy from God. Then verse 51, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Moms, how often do you praise your Savior? Is that a normal thing for you? All of us, then, the same question is for you, is how often do you find yourself praising God and saying, boy, the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows me because I'm a weak person. It's not in my strength that I can do this. It's not in my strength that I can be a great mom or a good dad or a good student or a good worker, but it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give Him praise because without Him, I'm nothing, as we also see in Scripture. John the Baptist said himself, for me to increase, me to decrease, but for Him to increase. So we see that we are to praise Him. Now, you'll never become extraordinary for Christ if you're trying to get everyone else to praise you, right? So if you're trying to get everybody else, okay, look at what I've done. Don't you appreciate me? Look at how I help you. Look at how I do this. And moms, sometimes this is a temptation because you do a lot. And you can say amen to that. Right? You do a lot. And more often than not, kids aren't the most grateful creatures in the world, right? It's like, you know, okay, mom, you do this and do this, but... And they don't show gratitude. But at the same time, be careful not to fall in the temptation of, if you only knew how much I do for you, well, how much does God do for every one of us? Do we praise Him for it? As much as we yearn for that gratitude and for that appreciation, do we praise God? From our lips, moms, do your kids hear that? From our lips, dads, and others, do other people hear you are praising God for anything that God allows you to do in your life? We are to praise Him. Do you consider yourself to be a servant of Christ? Mary said, I'm a servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Is it strange for you to say things like, He who is mighty has done great things for me. He has shown strength with His arm. He has exalted those of humble estate. Or is it more natural for you to say, yeah, you better see where I've come from. Man, I've put my mind to it. I've come a long way, but I've been a hard worker. Who gave you the breath to breathe for you to be a hard worker? Who gave you those opportunities? It wasn't you that fabricated them. But as we pray, as we trust Him and then praise Him, we're following Him as our Savior and Shepherd. Secondly, grow in Christ. Growing as a disciple. So to follow Christ as Shepherd basically just means to grow as a disciple of Christ. Disciple is another word for follower of Christ. There would be many other times in Mary's life where she would be tempted to be worried, to be fearful, to try to understand what was going on. But yet the angel's promise would often come back, I'm sure, to her remembrance, the Lord is with you. Notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, I want you to remember that phrase. We're going to come back to that in a minute, but let's follow the text a little bit longer. But that's important. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Next few verses, I want you to see, who will you follow? That's you need to choose. Who will you follow? Luke 2 and verse 22. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Did you see that? According to the law of Moses, present him to the Lord. Now verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And offer sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Moms, who do you follow? Do you follow those that are maybe part of your social media accounts? Do you follow those who are your close friends? Do you follow the gurus of the day, the latest study, and the most, you know, trendy ways to parent or to be a wife or to be a mom? Who do you follow? In this passage, several times, according to the law of Moses, according to the Lord, according to this, present to the Lord. So you must choose, who will you follow? And then choose wisely what you will treasure. Choose wisely what you will treasure. A few weeks ago, we had a contractor come by the house, and we've got a project that we're hoping to do soon. And he was looking at that, giving an estimate. And in our conversation, baseball came up. And so we talked about that for a little bit. I don't have a lot to talk about baseball. That's just, I'm not good at baseball. I played T-ball when I was younger. But after T-ball, dismissed the level. So, but he talked about that. And one of the phrases that he said kind of caught my attention. He said, yeah, this is just what our family does. This is what we do. And that's not necessarily wrong, but I got the impression of like, this is what we do. And he talked about the school where he played baseball, and now his son is at the same school playing baseball, you know, for the same school. You could tell this was a big deal for their family. And I want to ask you, moms, and then everybody else, if you were to complete that question, what do you do? I mean, like, what kind of makes your life? What are you known for? What would that be? Is it a hobby? Is it your work goals? Is it your beauty process? And you're just, what are you known for? What do you do? What do you treasure? Mary treasured the word of the Lord. Luke 2 and verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. This wasn't like, oh, man, we probably ought to go. We probably ought to do this. No, this was who they were. This is what they treasured. This is what they valued. These were the priorities of their life. Now, after the feast, Mary and Joseph, and there was a lot of other people with them, but they left the feast, and you may remember the story. Who did not leave with them? Jesus didn't go. And it was interesting at Dylan's party, one of Dylan's close family friends that he calls aunt and uncle, but if I understood right, there's not a family connection there, but it's just a very strong emotional connection. But one of his uncle at his party said, in Africa, it takes a village to raise a child. Am I right? Isn't that what he said? It takes a village to raise a child. And I think that's kind of the dynamic that's going on here. Because Joseph and Mary leave. They don't seem to be concerned that where Jesus is. They're like, well, he must be with the village. I mean, he's with the clan and we're going together. But after a day's journey, what do they notice? Hey, let's call Jesus to come sleep with us tonight. Oh, he's not with you. Where is he? So 3 days pass, and they go back. They're starting the journey back, looking for him. And moms, you can kind of begin to imagine the feelings that Mary is experiencing right now. But also think about the tension. Wait, Jesus is sinless, but yet he's not with us. He's going to be Savior. So where could this boy be? I mean, like, what is he doing? Why isn't he with us? Look back at Luke chapter 2 and verse 48. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. I think that's kind of a nice word. They were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And sometimes some of you moms can identify with this. She was greatly relieved. It's like, oh, son, I'm so glad you're alive. But if you do that again, I'm going to kill you. You better not. So I think that's kind of like what Mary as a human is feeling. And so she's not real sure, you know, what all's going on here. But notice Jesus' response as a 12-year-old in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And I think that's interesting. I think by God's grace, God allowed some of these phrases to be included in the scripture to help you and me. Because there's many times where we don't quite understand all that God's doing. And Mary didn't. Mary and Joseph didn't. They're like, okay, we were in distress. We were a little tense about this. But you're saying that you're supposed to be in your Father's house. And we don't understand quite all of that. And he went down with them, verse 51, and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And notice, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. She treasured them. Even though she didn't understand them, she treasured them. So I want to encourage you, what do you value more? God, I've got to understand. You need to explain to me what's going on here. Or are you going to say, God, I want to trust. I want to trust you. Sometimes it's like, God, I want to understand. What are you doing? Why is all this happening? Help me to understand this. And God, you don't seem to be. Or is it like, God, I don't understand. I don't see how all this fits together. But I trust you. I treasure you. Sometimes it's even the, God, I value being certain in the stability and the comfort and my boy should be with me or whatever the situation may be for you. Or it may be, God, show me the path and I want to follow. I want to treasure what you're doing in my life. Will you treasure security or submission? Will you treasure understanding or trusting? Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I think it's very interesting as Mary is learning and being challenged, Mary and Joseph both actually, but as Mary and Joseph are learning and being challenged to submit to God, but also to submit to God the Son, Jesus Christ, the 12-year-old, as they're learning this and as they begin to practice that, as they don't understand all that just happened in that situation, but Mary treasures these things in her heart, then the very next verse, it says that Jesus went down with them, so he left and he went down with them and was submissive to them as they were being submissive to him. Isn't that ironic? I mean, so this is happening, and Jesus, as 100% God, as 100% man, certainly is sinless. He didn't make a mistake. He was doing his Father's business. But yet, as a perfect child, he's submitting to his parents. All the while, his parents and his mom They're learning how to submit to Him as God and Savior. We're to grow as a disciple, but that's not just it. God doesn't want us just to grow and to soak it in and to learn these things, but then He wants us to be a disciple maker, to help other people follow Christ. Notice, even in the words of Mary herself, notice in John chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with His disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." And then John 2, verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And then this is probably some of the best and most profound advice that Mary ever gave. And certainly the most profound advice that if we follow it, it'll change your life. And she says this in John chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you." Here's Jesus. The wine is gone. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do that. Now, moms, what advice do you give your kids? Do you kind of think through and say, well, you know, this is what? Or do you say, do what Christ tells you to do? Have you thought about Scripture? Are there any biblical principles? Let's pray about this. Let's go to God together. And there will be times, moms and dads and parents, when our kids will come to us, and honestly, we don't know what to say. And that's okay. But as we go, we say, listen, come here. Let's bow in prayer, and let's go to God. Because God does know. And I don't know exactly what to tell you in this moment, but I'm convinced if you're a follower of Christ, that God will lead you. He will guide you. What advice do you give? Now, I want you to see this contrast here. Okay, so Luke 1:38, she is becoming a disciple. She gets the message that this miracle is going to happen within her. She's going to conceive and bear a son and call His name Jesus. And she says, "Let it be to me according to Your word. I want to follow You." But in this passage, she becomes a disciple maker. And His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." And God wants the same of you and me. We are to grow, we're to follow, we're to grow in Christ, but then also we're to help our kids. If you don't have children, you're to help others who God puts in your path and say, listen, this is what you're supposed to follow. He's the one that you're supposed to follow. Do whatever He tells you. Paul says a very similar thing in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." This is an extremely high bar. Because as people watch us, moms, as your kids watch you, dads, as your kids watch you, and even others who are discipling and God gives opportunities to mentor others as they watch you, can you say, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ"? There's certainly some times that I can say that, and then there's other times that I'll be like, okay, don't do that. Don't follow me in that way. But we should become disciple makers, just another ordinary way to become an extraordinary mom. Now, these are the words of Mary. What about Christ? Notice what He says in Luke chapter 11, verse 27. He said these things. As He said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." This would have been the great moment for Jesus to say, exactly. Yes, but what does He say? Now, I have no doubt that Jesus' relationship with Mary was extremely special. I have no doubt. God has given Mary a special place, yes, but not as it has been unfortunately distorted in so many ways. She was an ordinary lady, blessed by God, and she followed ordinary ways to become an extraordinary mom. Notice what Jesus says. But He said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." The lady says, goodness, blessed is the one who you were in her womb and who you nursed at her breast. Blessed is she. And Jesus says, no, actually, blessed is anyone who hears my word and keeps it. You know what that means? That means that every one of us can be blessed. Every one of us can become an extraordinary follower of Christ as we just ordinarily, day by day, in a lot of the little decisions and the moments in life when other people aren't looking, we are trusting in Christ, we're praising Him, we're growing as a disciple, we're saying, let it be unto me according to your word, as we're telling other people, do as whatever He tells you. What Christ leads you to do, yes, do that. And Jesus says, those are the people who are blessed. These are the people who are set apart. Then finally, we are to show Christ to others. Show Christ to others. In the temple, all the way back at the beginning of Jesus' life, Luke 2 and verse 22, it says, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Okay, so this was part of what you see in Leviticus, that after 40 days, so once a woman gave birth to a son, she was to wait 40 days. She was ceremonially considered unclean for 40 days if she gave birth to a son. If it was to a girl, it was 80 days. But after 40 days, since it was a son, she was to present and come to the Lord. And that's exactly what they're doing in Luke 2 and verse 22. And then verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now, interestingly enough, in Leviticus 12:8, it actually says, this is a little side note, but just another way to see that Mary is an ordinary lady. In Leviticus, it actually gives instructions of bring a lamb and a dove, or if you're poor, bring two doves. They brought two doves. It's interesting that Mary and Joseph, they're not of means apparently because they bring the lesser value of the sacrifices, but still fulfilling the ceremonial law that we see in Leviticus. So to Simeon, verse 27, we just read through verse 24, Luke 2 and verse 27, we see another character come in to the picture here in the temple. And Simeon, it says, he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Don't miss this. This is beautiful. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. How many of you are Jews? You're Jewish by your descendant. Anyone? Okay, then all of you should raise your hands to this next question. How many of you are Gentiles? Thank God for that phrase. Amen? So Simeon says, salvation in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon blesses Jesus, God incarnate, and says through him is the salvation for all peoples, for Gentiles, for Israel. And then he says, Mary, yes, you're blessed, but know that a sword's going to pierce through your heart as well. Through Jesus Christ, many will fall, but many will be raised up, you know, through salvation. Then we also see Anna in this passage, Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. There was a prophetess, Anna, and then jump into verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And never once in these passages, in these verses in the temple, does Mary go, whoa, 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 hold on. Yes, my baby's special. But, I mean, how about me? No, she's showing people, she's showing Christ to others, and she's allowing Simeon to give praise and saying salvation is through him, and she's allowing Anna to rejoice as she celebrates with all people what God is doing through Christ incarnate, the Messiah. So we see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, not only in the temple, but also in her house, she presents and shows people Christ to people. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." And listening to the king, verse 9, they went up on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Then verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. I want to just do a little side note here. But all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament alike, you know what the most common response is when someone is in the physical presence of God Almighty? Fall on their face and worship. Unfortunately, the most common response in the presence of God, who's always with us as believers, the most common response, it seems, in our modern day culture is just to treat God as almost an equal. Yeah, God, this is who I am, man. I hope you know, yeah, come as you are, yes, that's biblical. Stay as you are, nope, that's not. But yet, we lack so often the reverence. I'm not talking about legalism, I'm not talking about checking off boxes, but I'm talking about, do we fall on our face in worship? Do we look to Christ and say, you are worthy of worship? Yes, my life should change because of you. Not because of a pastor, not because of a church culture, not because of a denomination and what they expect, but my life should change because you deserve it, because you're worth it. They fell and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So in her house, she's showing Christ to others. She's welcoming the worship of Christ, God the Son. She's not trying to get a little bit of that praise for herself. She's not trying to become more famous. She wants people to worship him. We also see to her other children. I think this can be an extreme encouragement. To her other children, John chapter 7, verse 5. For not even his brothers believed in him. Have you ever thought about that much? Have you ever thought about the tension in Mary's heart? She has Jesus, God the Son, who she is convinced and she knows beyond doubt the miracle that happened within her. Mary, biblically, is never recorded of a miracle that she did, only the miracle that happened within her. She's convinced this is Jesus. This is Emmanuel, God with us. But her other children, the Bible says, there was a time where they didn't even believe in him. But yet she continues to show Christ. She continues to minister with Christ. She was at the wedding with Jesus. There's other instances where the New Testament says, and Mary was present. There's one passage where it says even Mary and his brothers were present, yet they were still unbelieving. But Mary continues to show Christ, even though they didn't believe in Jesus. That's tough. As Mary, you know, just was faithful as Jesus was doing the works, as his brothers at one point were like, Jesus, you need to show your stuff. I mean, you need to show your miracles, because they didn't believe in him yet. We see that even to those. John chapter 19 and verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, as well as Jesus' brothers and sisters. Does it say that? They're strangely absent. They're strangely absent. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, the next passage we see, I think in part, shows, obviously it's the work of God, but in part, I believe God honored Mary's faithfulness as she continued to show Christ, even to the other children. Notice with me in Acts chapter 1, as Mary is with the early church leaders, notice who also is present. Acts 1 and verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. And then verse 14. And these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and who? And his brothers. It seems that after the resurrection of Christ, that his brothers and sisters came to know him. Now it's interesting, in the language here, brothers could also include his sisters. It's common in many languages. It is still in Portuguese. There's masculine and feminine. But if there are masculine present, if there's boys or men present, then the masculine form is used to include both. So it's very possible that the brothers and sisters were present at that point praying together with the early church leaders. Now, why also is this passage interesting? Because Mary doesn't tell the disciples, okay, tell me, you know what? Tell me what you need to pray. I'm going to go to Christ and intercede on your behalf. Mary is with them, devoted in prayer. She once again is showing, yes, we need to pray to God the Son, Jesus Christ. Together, let's pray to him. She's never mentioned again after that passage. And anytime we see her, she's always pointing and elevating Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Moms, you face immense pressure today. You face pressure to be beautiful, to cook healthy meals, to oftentimes excel in your vocation, to take your kids all over town and sometimes all over the state, for soccer and for baseball and for this and for that and music lessons and, oh, by the way, you need to do this. And then also kind of have an Instagram-level house. And there's immense pressure on you. But as we look at the life of Mary, yes, she was blessed by God for sure. But she was an ordinary lady who followed ordinary ways to be an extraordinary mom. And moms today, I want to encourage you, don't think, man, I've got to do this and I've got to be that and I have to kind of reach the level here. Well, hold on. Look back at the very woman that God chose to give birth to Christ incarnate. In the ordinary ways, she followed Christ as Savior and Shepherd. She grew as a disciple and a disciple maker. And then she constantly was just showing Christ to others, saying, hey, praise him. Let's pray to him. Yes, he's the one. He's my Savior. And giving praise to him. So moms, I pray that you will follow those ordinary ways to be an extraordinary mom. And those of you who aren't moms, all those truths are the same for us. Let's bow in prayer.